If you guys want to turn with me to Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 6, I haven't got the number, the page, sorry. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. It's a pretty massive verse. It's a really awesome verse. Yeah, that's a pretty amazing verse, I feel. Just to give you a little bit of context then as to what it is that we're reading here. This is an extract from Paul's letter that he's writing to the church of Ephesus. It's known as one of the prison epistles. He was actually in prison in Rome at this point. And basically what he's trying to achieve with this letter is that he's trying to mature the church. He's not necessarily responding to a particular theological or moral problem like he does in some of his other letters. But what he's trying to do is he's trying to protect and guard the church against future problems by encouraging the Ephesians to grow and mature in their faith. And one of the ways he does this is by really focusing on the importance of unity. Now, by the time we reach these verses in Ephesians 4, Paul has already spoken and focused on this theme of unity a number of points in the book. And when this happens in the Bible, when the same thing keeps getting mentioned again and again in a short space of time, it happens for a reason, and it's because it's really important. The writers are like, come on, like, you've got to get this, you've got to listen to what I'm saying here. So Paul is emphasizing this theme of unity throughout this book because he knows that it's key for us as a church to understand. A lot of the points where he is mentioning unity before this are kind of in relation to what Jesus has done, the work of Christ bringing us together. Ephesians 1:10 talks about how Jesus came and then quotes to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And he talks about how Jesus united the Jews and the Gentiles together into the church as well. This is where a lot of his focus is. And then we reach the back end of the book of Ephesians, which is where I've taken this passage from. And now the focus of Paul's emphasis on unity kind of switches. And he now starts to focus on unity, but in relation to our personal, domestic, and social, and ecclesiastical lives. And that, I guess, is kind of where I want us to focus on tonight. What I want to do is look at actually what it is that unites us, and break it down into some different areas, and almost start to check them off like a tick list. My thinking is that if we really focus on making sure that we are united in these different areas, that we'll have a greater sense of unity within us as a body, and a greater understanding of what God's design for church really looks like. Notice that I said a greater sense, and that's because I think we're pretty good at this already. I'm not preaching on this because I think we're bad at it. I'm really, really not. I think we're great at this. But Paul felt the need to emphasize this again and again. And so I think it's important that we also go back to it. And it's good for us to look over this again as well. He knew that churches throughout history would struggle with this. And it's partly why there are so many different church denominations now. You know, because we can't unite on little views and tastes and the way we like things done here and there. So it's good for us to revisit this stuff. Because as good as we are at it now, there's always room to develop this further. So I've broken this down into four different sections. I was doing some reading on unity in the passage, and I found something from John Piper, and I love this guy. A lot of what he reads, I think, is brilliant, and he's one of my go-to Christian authors when I'm doing some research. And he said that there are four different things that unify us, four different things that make us unified. He put it down to our source, our views, our aims, and our affections. And so I've taken those, and I've only got them into short little pieces, but I've tried to put them into our context as a church, and so I'm going to go through these with you and hopefully feed you a little bit. So, source. What is our source? You know, whenever I hear this word, source, every time I think of it, it gets me thinking of Top Gear, okay? Anyone here watch Top Gear? Anyone at all? Even when it used to be good. I don't watch it now, right? But I used to. You know, the good old ones. John will know the good old ones. I know he will. The good old Top Gears. So there's one, and it's whenever I think of the word sauce, this is what comes to mind. And it's this one, it's one of their Christmas specials where they go off to some random country in really old, broken down cars and try some incredible adventure. And they're trying to find the source of the River Nile. And so this episode, you're about 20 minutes into the episode and they've got their cars, they've fought over whose one is best, and they've already started to destroy each other's cars. And then they get going, and it's supposed to be this big, epic adventure. And 2 minutes later, they found it. And they drive up, and it's this massive, gigantic river. And they're like, well, that was really, really easy. And then one of the producers comes along and gives them an envelope, and it says, you know, you idiots, this isn't it. Go and find it properly. And then they spend the next 2 hours, or two TV hours, a matter of days, in the real show, off searching and gallivanting to find the real source of the Nile, okay? And it got me thinking, because the source of something isn't always as simple as it seems. So what is the source of our unity? Where do we get that sense of unity from? Is it from the leadership team? Does unity start with us and does it flow down to you? Are you unified because of the example set by us? You know, are we the giver of unity? Well, it would make sense, but no, we're not. We're told in the text who the giver of unity is. Verse 3 of the text says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the giver of unity. And sure, it will help if we as leaders are setting that culture of unity and togetherness, and I hope that you feel that we are. But we mustn't confuse that with thinking that we are the source of unity. We as a church are unified by example, but it's not the example set by us. It's the example set by God, who is in unity with himself, with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the example that we're set by. It's not an example set by us, but it's an example set by him. It's important to remember. Just to have a look at how we are unified by our views. Now, being unified by one's views is certainly not a new thing, and nor has it always actually been a good thing. Now, if you Google the definition of something, I Google the definition of unity or unified or united, and it says the state of being united or joined as a whole. It doesn't necessarily mean it's positive. So unity is not always necessarily good. It depends on what you are unified in. You know, there are plenty of historical examples of groups of people being unified in some truly awful causes. Nazis, KKK, these kind of things spring to mind. We're united, but not in the right thing. And actually, even in churches, you know, 50 years ago, there were churches in Southern America that were unified in their vote to ban black people from church. That's 50 years ago. We're not always unified in the right thing. We need to be unified by the right cause. What we need is positive unity. The kind of unity that this passage in Ephesians is talking about. Unity that embodies peace, that has a humble and a gentle nature. As Christians, our views on day-to-day decisions and even greater world decisions should be, and I'm sure for most of us are, heavily influenced by what we read in the Word of God. If our views are in line with God's, then there's no doubt that we'll create an even greater sense of positive unity amongst ourselves, okay? And if our views are in line with God's views, then our aims should naturally be as well. I like to think of it like this, right? If our views are what we think, and our aims are the actions that we want to take, you know, what we strive to do. So if we are unified in our views by the same Spirit, which the passage tells us that we are, then this becomes our foundation. Yeah? It's God's views, it becomes our views, it's the Word of God. This is our foundation. And our aims then, so everything that we want to achieve, everything we're going to achieve as a church and as a community comes out of this. So if we're unified at this point, we've surely got to be unified in whatever it is that we grow out of here. Does that make sense? There's my thinking on it. And despite it being, in a sense, quite sad, I was really encouraged actually to hear about the latest political news with Tim Farron. Has everyone heard this? Yeah, if you weren't aware, basically Tim, he was the leader of the Lib Dems, he stepped down over his faith. He said that he felt, and I quote, torn between living as a faithful Christian and serving as a political leader. You know, so that what I read from that is that his views weren't matching his aims, or at least weren't matching the party's aims. And it is sad, don't get me wrong, I think it's sad that that is the case currently in our society. It's sad that he honestly felt that he couldn't do both. But I am encouraged by it, and what I'm encouraged by is his response. You know, I'm encouraged that he recognised that key things in his life weren't aligning as they should be, and he acted. Let's have a look at our aims. You know, what are our aims as a church, as a unified body? Worshipping Jesus, growing together, and reaching others. Anybody recognise those? I hope that we do. That's our mission statement, yeah? It's on our website. I'll take it straight from there. Okay. And we have practical ways that we try to outwork these. And one of them actually is coming up in a couple of weeks' time, as I'm sure you all know, and it's our community faith. You know, this is such a great opportunity to worship Jesus publicly. It's a great opportunity for us to grow together and come alongside each other as we all get stuck into different parts of the day. And of course, it's such a great opportunity to reach others. It's a great thing to have a platform like this where we can take our views that we're unified in and take them out to be the positive light that, frankly, we know our community needs, and especially at times like now with everything that's been going on. And so I just want to encourage you to make sure that we do this together and that we do it united. And that we do it in a manner like the scripture says. I quote it again, being humble and gentle, patient and bearing with one another in love. And I know plenty of you here, and I know just how much you will get stuck into it, and I know that you'll be committed to it as you are to a lot of the things that we do as a church. But if there is anyone here, or if you know of people from our church family who maybe aren't planning on coming, or are just feeling a bit uneasy about the whole thing, or aren't really understanding why we go through the effort of doing it, I just want to encourage you, and maybe then you to encourage them, to join with us in doing this. Yeah, together we are stronger. And if you are united with us in our views, our beliefs, our vision, our mission, and everything else I've said so far, then let's get united in our aims and our actions as well. This last thing that John Piper suggests unifies us then is our affections. And by this, I think I simply mean treating people in the right way. Treating each other in the ways that Jesus taught us to, which Paul is backing up again in these verses. And I've quoted this passage a few times today already, and I'll say it again, but it's this idea of being humble, being gentle, being patient, and bearing with one another in love. You know, going out of our way to help others and to put them first. And I know that we do this a lot anyway. I mean, of course we do. Like, we're good people, and it's generally human nature to not be horrible to each other. So we do this stuff anyway. But it's about doing it even when it's hard. I'm sure we can all think of times where we could have been more helpful, or we could have sacrificed a little bit more of our time to whatever that thing was, or we could have shown grace and forgiveness to a person who upset us. And trust me, I'm definitely speaking to myself here just as much as I am to anyone else, even yesterday, right? So I've been writing this sermon all week, and so this stuff's been fresh in my mind most minutes of the day for the last kind of 7 days. I've been all over this thing. And yet even so, yesterday I scratched my car, quite badly scratched my car, because some guy decides to block my road with a truck, okay? And it doesn't leave me enough room to get past this truck in the road, and I'm running late for a gig as it is, and so I'm already quite stressed about the gig. I can't get away from this truck, and he barely moves the truck in the first place, and he's like, oh, you can get out of there. And I'm like, I really can't fit out of that gap, and he's going, I'll direct you. And so this guy is trying to direct me out, and basically I say, I'm going to hit that band if I go further, and he goes, trust me, and does this, so I come, and I've now got a massive, great big gash in the side of my car from this thing, okay? I was really, really angry. Yeah, and to put a long story short, I know that I didn't act in the right way as a result of what happened there. Basically, I'm being a bit of a hypocrite because I did not act in the way that I've been preparing a sermon to talk about for the last week. So I'm definitely speaking to myself as much as I am you guys when I'm saying this. You know, we all need to be better at this stuff when it's hard. We're good at it when it's day-to-day and when it's our friends, but it's at the challenging times when we have to really work on this stuff. You know, and that's, again, that's why Paul talks about this as often as he does, because it is challenging. This is why he reminds us about this kind of stuff as often as he does. You know, I know that in that moment I didn't act in a way that represents kingdom culture. I didn't act like a guy who was representing a unified church, united by that Spirit of God, desperate to reach out in love and unite our community. No, in that moment, I didn't. But so that's got even me thinking to be better when it comes to circumstances like that in the future. It is hard sometimes. I'm encouraging you guys to be better than me with it. Now, I think that if we're going to be a truly unified body, it's largely down to relationship. It's about really growing with one another, understanding where people are at. It just, out of interest, just look at the people that are either side of you now. And I imagine that, I think most of us here probably know each other. I know there might be a few new faces, but generally speaking, we know each other. I wonder if you really know where they are at today. Do you know if there's anything that they could do with prayer for? How's their work going? Maybe they're applying for a new job. Moving house? Is their health okay? Everything good with the family? I just wonder whether we know these things. Because I think this is where we can really start to improve our unity. It starts from the ground up. These small little relationships with the people that we sit next to every Sunday. If we start to really connect on these levels, then everything that grows from there has to grow in the same, it will naturally grow in that same vein. So what I want us to do now, actually, just as I begin to finish, is just maybe with the person next to you or people next to you, if it's easier to be as three rather than two, I don't mind, is just spend some time talking and just work out maybe little things. You don't need to go into massive, great big problems if you don't want to, but just find little things that you can start to pray with each other about and maybe start to get a bit accountable with it. So say, I'm going to ask you next Sunday how this thing is going. Or maybe I'm going to text you in the week and see how you got on with doing this. I think this is really important for us to do this. And I think it's really important, again, for us to encourage this on a greater level. Because this is not our church. This is a small fraction of our church. But we can encourage this kind of culture further than this. So I'd like us to just start doing that. You know, I think it's the little things. I think it's the quiet prayers and the small deeds that will help us grow from the ground up and help our unity as a church to blossom. And before we know it, I guarantee you that if we do this, and if we do it as a community, and if we really buy into this, it will extend out past these four walls, which is what we want. It's what it says in our mission statement. We want to reach others. And if we're reaching them by setting this kind of culture, that will grow, and it will go further than us. And so I hope this has given you some food for thought.